This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery, just like Leicester City this season. So the only thing left to say is, you win. Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
95% of Uber Eats orders are on time, which is great. Because when I want my spicy shrimp pad Thai, I want it on time. Because, baby, there's no time like the present. Especially when it's pad Thai related. But on the off chance your order is late, Uber Eats will give you 3 months, $0 delivery fee with a free Uber One membership. On time, pad Thai, baby.
On time claim based on latest arrival time shown after order is placed. Offer ends 2/19/2023. Current Uber One members not eligible. Subscription will auto renew at $9.99 each month. Starting 3 months from initial enrollment. See uber.com/uber1 for terms. Benefits available only for eligible stores. Order minimums apply.
Leicester Till I Die TV. Watch and subscribe on YouTube and listen on your podcast platform.
Oh, Matt Elliott here.
Hi, Alan Smith here.
Hey guys, Ian Hume here.
Hi everybody, Jerry Taggart here.
Be sure to watch
Chris and Leicester Till I Die TV
for all the latest Leicester City news and information.
You can also subscribe on YouTube and various social media channels
for the latest updates and news on Leicester City Football Club.
Come on, you foxes.
Back of the net.
It didn't happen in 49, 61, 63 or 69 when they reached the final. But the class of 2021 have delivered. Leicester City are FA Cup winners at last and are history makers at Wembley.
A modern day football miracle. They have blown their rivals away. They have blown us all away in truth. Premier League champions 2016, the amazing Leicester City!
Till I Die TV, your first choice for everything Leicester City.
Tune in
and join in now.
And now, here's your host.
Right, Chris.
Well, I've been better, I'm not going to lie. Good evening, how the devil are you all? Oh, got over it yet? I woke up this morning to an email from the BBC saying, could I do a bit on sort of how I was feeling? And maybe I should have gone for a walk if I'd got a dog, taking the dog for a walk first before I actually wrote it. But yes, it was not the fact that we went out as much, but how we went out. But I suppose that's kind of been Leicester's season. The only thing that's kept me going really is the fact that Man United are imploding more than us. Arsenal, I don't know if you've heard the news, but they have put a warning out. Everybody in London has got to stay indoors. and they could well be closing the Thames barrier because of all the Arsenal fans crying because Arteta has signed an extension to his contract. You know it's true, Arsenal fans. You know it's true. This is Letter Till I Die. We are on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and, of course, YouTube at Letter Till I Die. Please like, subscribe, and share on YouTube if you can. Every subscription really, really, really does help. And if you're listening on your favourite podcast platform, thank you so very much. This is where you can find us.
Watch us on YouTube. Listen on your favourite podcast platform. Or ask your smart speaker to play the podcast Leicester Till I Die.
Subscribe, like, follow and join in now.
Broadcasting live worldwide.
Craig. Hello, sir.
How you doing? I'm just writing a couple of notes there. So...
must be new season ticket.
Yeah, well, we still do, don't we? Always do.
Cancel flight to Tirana.
Yeah, it's funny because I spoke to somebody yesterday. Somebody was delivering something at work and he had his Leicester top on. And I asked him if he'd be watching the game later and he said, yeah, he'd be watching. But he'd already booked his flights for Tirana a while ago. But he said he booked them because they were only 49 quid. So I think he could afford to lose it.
Yes, I think you can. But we've not had this feeling for a while. I mean, we're going to be going into the end of the season with nothing to play for.
No, so it'll be interesting in terms of team selections, Scott, for the end of the season. I was just looking. I was just writing down the fixtures that we've got left. So. But we do have a little bit part to play in top and bottom. So
yeah,
I think Brendan is one for probably the integrity of the competition. So I'm not sure he'll make too many changes in games where there's something on it.
No. Talking about being involved at top and bottom, really pleased to have this guest on again. He's been on before. We were just letting him finish what he was doing, and I'm not going to say what he was doing because that was off air. But hopefully he's finished. Otherwise, this next second could be very embarrassing. But those of mine and Craig Edge will remember from ITV Sport, Elton Wellesby, big Everton fan. Good evening, Elton. How are you?
Good evening, Chris. Good evening, Craig.
How are you doing, Elton?
All right.
Yeah, good.
Yeah. We were just saying before, I mean, Craig said there, we've got a big say in, well, not a big say, but a say in sort of the top and bottom.
You don't have to beat about the bush where I'm concerned. It just say the bottom. I mean, that's where we are. We're in the bottom three, for crying out loud.
You are. I mean, you've supported Everton a long, long time. And, well, obviously all your life, obviously. But, I mean, is this the worst Everton team you've seen or...?
Oh, yeah. Oh, God, yeah. It's terrible.
I remember...
There's nothing else to say, is there? Just, yes. You
know. I remember going back, I don't know what it was, 20-odd years ago, I think, and Everton were involved in a relegation battle, and I think Graham Stewart scored on the last day of the season.
Yeah, against Wimbledon, Craig. Yeah, 3-2, yeah. Well, we had like two very dodgy years in the 90s, 94 and 98. They were the two. 98's the one you're referring to.
Yeah.
We had a narrow escape also in 94. In between all that, we won the FA Cup, thanks to Joe Royal, and the Dogs of War. That was in 95. And there's a sort of a 27 campaign in amongst Evertonians, of which I'm not one. You know, say 27 years since we've won anything. Mm-hmm. And that's the idea of that, to remind people that the club is not run very well. In fact, it's run abysmally. And unless we have massive changes, it'll be another 27 years before we win anything.
Yeah. Big up to Talk. Welcome along. Thanks for joining us, Talk. Talk, type in your channel details. He started a new channel. Backing Cancer for Men. If you want to type that in, Talk, we'll put that up for you so people can go and follow you on that. It's a great channel, obviously for a good cause as well. I did say actually, I know a couple of weeks ago, I don't know whether you were the same, Craig, but I was saying, well, Leeds aren't going to be in trouble. They're out of it now. They're back in it, and it's any one of three probably ready to go down now.
Well, I think the media, the media like stories, don't they? So they'll create a story, and they rarely give the whole story. It's like at the moment, the battle for fourth place is a North London battle between Spurs and Arsenal. But if you look at the fixtures and the points total at the minute, it could be Chelsea that missed out. You know, they're not doing anything. I don't think that defeat against Everton helped them. So they could miss out, but they're not part of the story because Spurs-Arsenal is a bigger story at the top. But at the bottom, it's the same.
Yeah.
As you said, Elton, I think, you know, Everton are the story. You know, that's going to be the big story. So that's the one that they'll focus on.
Hi, TM. How are you doing? Mm-hmm. Yep. And it's football versus cancer. I couldn't remember the exact wording of it, Talk. But yeah, get over there, check that channel out. It's a really good cause. And Talk is a Man United fan, but he's one of the nice ones. You know, there are one or two of them out there. But he's one of the two. Let's just have a look at the table here. It's not looking good. That was, well, it isn't. let's put it as you said, Elton. Say as it is. You know, you've been dragged in. I mean, Burnley just, their owner is either the luckiest man alive or he's a tactical genius in getting rid of Sean Dyche. But it's turned their season round, hasn't it?
Oh, very, very, very much so. I mean, I know Burnley, the club, quite well from a long time ago. But,
yeah,
you know, I've always had, a soft spot for them because it's a club which unites a town. Mm. Okay, they might not get sellouts and everyone goes crazy at Turf Moor, but the whole crowd, the whole community is Burnley-orientated, if you like.
Yeah.
It's, and they have it of, it's the old siege mentality that when they're down there, you know, they invariably seem to put a string of results together and survive. I mean, they've been doing that for years. And under Sean Dyche, yes, they did go down one year, came straight back. I've always said, up until almost recently, up until the appointment of Rafa Benitez at our place, which was an unmitigating disaster, mm-hmm. I always said it. Sean Dyche is the guy I'd like to come. Come to us. And when he was relieved of his duties, I remember tweeting pretty much the time, I just heard. And I said, great news for us. Being Everton, obviously.
Yes.
Great news for us because I think the guy's a fantastic manager. I don't know him. So I'm not speaking with any bias, but I just think for what he's done there on the budget that he's had down the years, I think he's been enormously successful. When he was sacked, that was my initial reaction was, wow, you know, that's great for us. But then I thought, the other thing I thought when I saw the news was, they've got Sam Allardyce lined up to come in, you know, Red Adair.
Yeah.
They stuck with Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
And wow, he's certainly nominated, one of the nominees for the April Manager of the Month, definitely, along with the obvious candidates, yes. Klopp, Guardiola, and there's another couple.
He'd probably deserve it. It's a hard job down there.
I think he deserves it. My initial reaction to seeing those nominees was that it's got to be him.
Yes,
you know.
I can't
give manager of the year or manager of the month, whatever it is, to the guy who wins the championship every time. But there are jobs being done out there which are enormously creditable, enormously
definitely.
Under circumstances which are far from ideal.
Yeah. I mean, I could say I spent 20 years of my life in Burnley. All my kids were born in Burnley. And yeah, you were born in Burnley and it was like, this is your mum and dad. You vote Labour and you support Burnley.
Yeah,
that's absolutely. How you were brought up.
Absolutely.
My kids, I did say to them when they were growing up, I mean, my eldest is the one that's into football more than any of them. But I said, like, I don't mind if you support Burnley because that's your town of birth and, you know, your friends and you live there. I said, oh, you can support Leicester because your dad does, etc. But you're not supporting Liverpool, Man United, Spurs just because they're on the TV. But I think possibly Craig, I mean, looking at Sean Dyche, and we'll just look at that for a second, because Talk says here, I think Sean Dyche got to the point where he wasn't a bad manager and he'd done a lot there, but there just comes a time when a manager's gone as far as he can do with the club. And Talk says there, has Rodgers played his part and now it's time to move on? Would you agree with the thing? But I don't think Rodgers has come up to his time yet.
No, I was talking at work today about Rodgers and people will tell me if I'm wrong, but I don't think... When you're at the elite level, and I'm not saying Leicester at the elite level, he's only had really his time at Liverpool at an elite level and then in Scotland. But I don't think he's ever been in a position where he's had to rebuild a team. So I think this will be the make or break of Brendan Rodgers, to be honest, because he's had success with Leicester, but he's never been somewhere that's given him money to then rebuild it. And that's what he's going to get at Leicester. So I think I'm of the opinion that he's got more in him. He's frustrated because I like what he says, but it doesn't always show out on the pitch. You know, we can all see that we lack aggression, we lack physicality, and he comes out and says it. But now he needs to follow that up and actually do it. But I'm quite enthused to see how he will build on the basis that we've actually got.
I mean, everybody was saying with Brendan, well, Liverpool fans mainly, like, oh, it's third season syndrome. He always has that. Well, he was never given the chance to rebuild. Exactly. And, you know, we know the Wengers and the Fergusons did do rebuilding. Hmm. Talking of managers, you mentioned before Benitez wasn't your choice. I thought he was going to do well for you, to be honest, only because he's done reasonably well wherever he's gone. But obviously, it was, like you said, an unmitigated disaster. Was Frank Lampard the man? I mean, time will tell, I guess. But was Frank Lampard a welcomed choice, shall we say, for the job?
Well, there appeared to be a short list of three. God, I've forgotten his name, the Portuguese guy. With no significant track record whatsoever, no. Duncan Ferguson and Frank. Now, Duncan might become managerial material in a few years. He needs to leave Everton and manage somewhere, learn his trade, as it were, if it's just a case of being an Evertonian. And having, you know, Neil Satis Nisi Optimum and Rupert's Castle tattooed on you, that doesn't make you a good manager. It makes you passionate and it makes you appeal to the fans, definitely. But I think Duncan needs to leave Goodison. I think he needs to get a manager's job somewhere and learn about what the job is.
Does he want the job? He's always stood in, hasn't he? He's always stood in as the caretaker. Does he want
well,
the job?
Well, yeah, he was caretaker for one game after Benitez. Not one game. But there was the Villa at home, which everyone thought, this is it, we'll be fine now. Duncan's back in charge and, you know, we'll get through on sheer guts. It didn't happen, you know. It didn't happen, which says probably more about the apathy of the players than anything else. If Duncan Ferguson couldn't get a tune out of them in terms of grit and determination, then I don't think anyone could. That's my view. Yeah. Duncan wasn't ready. And what was the name of the Portuguese? His name just gone.
Nuno, was it that was at Wolves?
No. He was never in contention.
It wasn't Gil, was it? No.
Look, it doesn't matter. He doesn't matter. I mean, he's ridiculous. He did a live interview on the... There was a big meeting in London at Bill Kenwright's place. And there were three interviews taking place. There was Lampard, the guy whose name I just can't remember, and Duncan Ferguson. And on the Thursday, the day before this series of interviews, he did a live interview on Sky Sports News, which was a train crash. It was just embarrassing. And so everyone saw that and thought, well, he must be out of the running after that disaster. Mm-hmm. But apparently not, because the interview went ahead with him on the Friday. And Evertonians, believe me, to a man, were rooting for Frank Lampard. Now, had there been a bigger shortlist, I don't know. But Frank was a very popular choice. But there again, we all knew Duncan wouldn't get it. Why there was this smokescreen that Duncan might, by being part of this interview process, I don't know. I really don't know. I haven't got a clue, because it's ludicrous. So it was basically down to Frank and this guy.
Vitor Pereira.
Thank you.
I'd like to say I knew that off the top of my head, but I didn't. I just Googled it while you were talking.
No, you've been thinking too long, Chris. Pereira, yeah. His track record was just unbelievable. He didn't have one.
If you go down, and obviously there's still the possibility that you could do, is he, Frank, the person to bring you back up, or would he go and you get somebody else like a Sean Dyche or somebody like that in?
He's seen the championship with Derby. Some would say, you know, rather unlucky not to get promoted before, and would have been a bit longer at Derby, but for the Chelsea job, which everyone knew was too quick, too soon for Frank. But having said that, there's no way he could turn it down. But a similar thing with Wayne Rooney and Everton. You know, would it really be too soon for Wayne Rooney to come and manage Everton? Because he's done such a wonderful job under the most awful conditions and what have you at Derby. But I think the feeling amongst Evertonians, and my feeling too, maybe it would have been a bit too quick for him, the way it was too quick for Frank at Chelsea.
Well, we've been there.
What do you think, Craig? Do you agree with that?
I mean, first of all, Benitez, I've never bought into Benitez being a good manager. I got to say, for me, Benitez, when he was at Newcastle, you said, Chris, that he's done well wherever he's gone. I'm not buying that, to be honest. For me, Benitez is a manager who, when the team wins, he's a genius. When the team loses, it's the players. He's been like that all the time. He was like it at Newcastle. He was doing the same at Everton. I think he's totally overrated. So I thought he was a shocking choice. I think you're right in what you're saying, Elton. I think Frank got the wave of public support purely to stop the other guy getting the job.
I don't think we stopped him getting the job, but I think probably the fans and their feeling played a part in it, because Mashiri is so stubborn, he doesn't even listen to the chairman, Bill Kenwright. He doesn't listen to him. Because I know this for a fact. Bill Kenwright said to Mashiri before we appointed Benitez, don't appoint him. He said, you'll alienate the fans, et cetera, et cetera. and he just listened to his mate, the so-called agent, and they went for Benitez. He was warned by Bill Kenwright, and he ignored the warning. So it's his own stupid fault.
The Wayne Rooney thing's an interesting one. I think if you do go down, I mean, we'll talk about it a bit more later. I think you'll get out of it, to be honest. The Wayne Rooney
championship's not an easy thing to get out of.
I mean you'll get out of it this year. I think you'll get out of trouble.
Oh, good.
I think you'll scrape this player. Yeah, if you were. Yeah, if you go down, I'm not so sure.
Because
you'll have a lot of players on a lot of big money, and there'll be a lot of changes. But Rooney, it's a tricky one, isn't it? I think he's done fantastically well at Derby.
Oh,
to get them even within a shout of being safe was phenomenal, to be honest.
What was it? Was it 21 points?
Yeah, 21-point deduction. And for them to still be in it with like three or four games to go.
That's ridiculous. I mean, they'd have been comfortably halfway, wouldn't they?
Yeah, and that's a squad that hasn't got a lot of quality in it. So he must have something about him, Wayne.
I thought after the last game, when they were actually relegated, when it was, you know, they were gone.
Yeah.
I saw a thing on probably Twitter actually, which obviously some Derby fans or a Derby fan have posted, where he came out and talked to the fans. I saw that. Yeah. I thought, well done you.
I think a lot of them had gone down to the training ground.
They'd gone down
to the training ground, and he came off the coach, and he went and addressed them and said, yeah, we'll all fight to get back together.
But it was a conversation. It wasn't one of those. And he obviously is loved by the fans. Yeah. That goes without saying. But it wasn't a case of, you know, you see some of these scenarios where it's Rooney out, ugh, off, leave our club and all that. Yeah. It wasn't. It was constructive. It was a conversation, and he had that conversation. There were no raised voices. I was hugely impressed by that.
Well, he had chances to walk away, hasn't he? And he's not. He said he was going to see this through. He didn't even want to get in the conversation about the Everton job at the time.
No, he didn't. Quite right.
So fair play to him.
And the only thing he did, he did take a quick fib. He did, which is totally understandable. And we are talking about football, by the way. There's more lying in football than there is.
He'll get a job at UEFA or FIFA then, won't he?
Well, he's fine. He'd be fine in that score. But he did tell a little porky when he said he'd not been contacted.
Right.
He has. Yeah. He was. But his initial immediate reaction was, I've got a job to do here. Thank you, but no thank you.
He did say
it's hypothetical because I've not been approached. Well, right. He'd been sounded out.
Yes.
How's that?
I mean, I lived down in Bournemouth, and I came down here, and you know this, Craig. And funnily enough, I was only watching it the other night. There's a documentary on YouTube.
Excuse me. Sorry. Point of order, Mr. Chairman. I didn't realise you were in Bournemouth.
I am, yes. So, just outside.
How come you're such a fanatical Leicester man?
Burnley.
You have 20 years to be a Burnley man. Now you're down in Bournemouth and you don't support them. What the hell's going on with you?
I said that to Winston White, the ex-player, because I was saying about being a journeyman footballer. He said, well, look at you. Are you in the witness protection scheme? I move around the country so much. No, it's my job that took me everywhere. No, I was born and had 21 fun years in Leicester. But no, in Bournemouth, Eddie Howe took over when they were like minus 17 points at the bottom of the fourth division. And look where he is now. So, you know, you can say Wayne Rooney's, if he gets this right, he can have his pick of the jobs. And I think there's always a problem with an icon like that, like Frank Lampard going back to Chelsea, Craig. It's like, you can only just go wrong, can't you?
You want to hide into nothing, really, aren't you?
Yeah, yeah.
I think there's Rooney's
stock has gone into Rooney's stock has gone into the stratosphere since this last season with Derby.
Yeah, and I think he can afford to bide his time. It's a difficult one, isn't it? Because if he has a great season, his stock rises. If it's a bit mediocre, you know, it's a trouble. It's like a player deciding whether to stay at a club or go because he's had a great season. You know, he may never get another chance. But I think Rooney, and from what I've read about him and the things he's come out and said, I think he's a bit of a student of the game, and I think he's taking this second career really seriously, and he'll take his time.
Oh, definitely.
And not rush into the first job.
I didn't, and I have to eat humble pie here because I didn't think he would do the job that he has done. And I think, in a way, like you say, if it doesn't work out, he's got the excuses there. Well, look at the trouble they were in, and we haven't got new owners, we'd gone, but blah, blah, blah. And like you say, if he does, his stock will just rise. And maybe he looked at the Everton job, Elton, and said, not now. it's too much of a hot potato.
Yeah, but not now, not because, you know, Everton are badly run, they're in the shit. I don't think that was the not now. I think the not now was purely because he feels he's got a job to do at Derby. And at the time, there was no certainty that Derby were going to go down. It was highly likely, but it wasn't certain. So until it was mathematically impossible for Derby to stay in the division, I think Rooney had the integrity to say, no, I've started this, I'll finish it.
I think the important thing, if you did go down in terms of Frank, you'll get a lot of people are saying this will be good for Frank. He'll be able to earn his Spurs and learn his trade a little bit. But that shouldn't be the case. It should be what's best for Everton, not what's best for Frank Lampard.
Well, you won't find Evertonians subscribing to that view. With Evertonians, it is purely about the club.
And that's how it should be. But what I mean is, in the media, they'll come out and say this, that, and the other. This could be great. It could be the making of Frank, blah, blah, blah. But that should be irrelevant. It should be about what's right for Everton.
No. I mean, if it's, this is absolutely hypothetical. But if, let's say, we could bring in a manager who would guarantee us survival now at the expense of Frank Lampard, then I would think 99% of Evertonians would say, well, we better do it then.
I think, you know, we touched on it, whether you're going to stay or whether you're not. I think watching that game against Chelsea, I think I was just looking at the games available and the points available. And the reason I think you'll get out of it is because you've got two winnable games at home. And I think those fans made all the difference against Chelsea.
Oh, they will. Frank is saying the right things, by the way, because in his after-match interview, I don't know whether he was directly asked. I can't remember whether he was directly asked who was your man of the match. But he did actually say the fans were the man of the match. No, so he's saying the right things.
And I think
Evertonians like to hear that.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really interesting, the game on Sunday, to see whether the team can translate that kind of energetic, up-and-at-them performance without a packed house behind them.
You know, you are 100% correct. Our problem has been, certainly since Frank's been with us, and before that, under the other fella, the little fat Spanish waiter, as we call him, has been away from home. We have been deplorable away from home. If I could think of a stronger word, I'd use it.
Or I'll tell you what, Elton, that's your form there. I mean, I've jumped to it now. We're going to do it earlier, but I've jumped to it now. But your away form, you've played 16, you've won one away all season. Your minus 22 goal difference. Mind you, it's always, whenever there's a record to be broken, play Leicester, it always helps, doesn't it, Craig?
It does. But,
I mean, that's probably what's let you down this season.
Ask me now. Ask me this. How's it going to go on Sunday?
How's it going to go on Sunday, Elton?
I haven't got a clue.
Because, I walked into that one, didn't I?
Because I have no idea which Everton will turn up. And whether the Everton who can perform the way they did against Chelsea with that sensational backing of 40,000 fans are away support, in my view, is unmatched by any other team in the Premier League. It's phenomenal. And they do it week in, week out, and they watch. Away from home, they watch shit every time we play. And they still go back for more. And those who go home and away will say exactly the same as me, as I'm saying to you now. We haven't got a clue which Everton will turn up at Leicester City. Not a clue.
We could say the same, couldn't we, Craig? I mean, this Craig is Leicester's form. 50% win record at home. Plus goal.
I'm glad you put a caption up that I can actually read and see. You know, my bins are.
I was doing it earlier and I was struggling to see the other one. I thought, no, I can't use that. I've got to use this.
I didn't see that one at all.
It was 1-1. It was 1-1 a few weeks ago. We've just seen it was at Goodison Park. We've seen it's a different Everton when they're at home, but they're fighting for their lives. We kind of, after last night, you know, we've got nothing to play for, really, have we? So, it's the first time I've not actually predicted a Leicester win on this one.
Well, I think the thing is, I don't think Everton can afford to just take a point and be happy with it.
Our feeling, Craig, is that, I say our... I mean, obviously, you know, on Twitter, I get to gauge the opinion of the fans. And basically, they follow what I think. And that is, we would give us a point now, we'd have it.
Yeah.
Put it that way.
I'm not saying I don't think that would be a bad result, but I don't think you can come and play for a point.
Oh, no, no. I'm not saying that at all. Yeah. Oh, no.
Which gives us more of an opportunity, I think. I think when teams come out, and if you want to try and make it a high tempo game, I think we've got more of a chance of our, and I don't mean this disrespectfully, our better technical players on the ball will give us more of a chance. Having said that, you'd have expected that of Chelsea, but I think they got wrapped up in that 40,000 crowd.
Oh, without a doubt, it was intimidating.
So I think if Everton come out and play, it will help us, to be honest, because
it depends what you mean by play. Now, there's only one way we could. What we do is we pack up. We don't play five at the back. We play more like seven. it's a two banks of four, if you like. But the players, you've got Richarlison, and Gordon. Running channels, left and right-hand side, running channels, running to try and run behind, and that is our only tactic that can possibly work. None others, because we don't have a creative midfield. Chris will tell you, I, Craig, I said before, on this show, I said before that the game at Goodison between the two clubs, eight of your players would walk into our team. I mean that. I haven't changed my mind to this day, and I'm even basing it on what I saw against Chelsea. I still think eight of your players would walk into our team.
I think we know
that they'd walk because they don't know how to run, do they, Craig?
As we say, but as we saw last night, you know, our Achilles heel is set pieces, but we really don't have the guile to break down a packed-in defence. So it could be that if you do that, that we get frustrated and you can hit us on the break. I think Gordon's a fantastic player. I think he needs to cut certain things out of his game, but I think he's a fantastic talent.
You mean the bits of his game that he's obviously picked up from Richarlison?
Exactly, yeah. but he is a great talent.
He's a terrific talent. He really is.
Sorry, Chris, just a quick one. It seems to have gone quiet on the last couple of days. The incident with Richarlison and the flare.
Well, quite rightly, it's fun. Do you want to rephrase?
Put on the back burner or
back burner? Very good. He'll probably get fine eventually. Listen, he. One thing that Richarlison's got, which a lot of our players don't, he's got a passion for the football club. Mm-hmm. He really has. He's a Brazilian, you know, from the slums of Rio, kind of thing. But he's developed a love affair with Everton. Mm-hmm. His work rate is second to none. It is phenomenal. And when he scored that goal, which he argued certainly the most important goal he scored for Everton, one of the most important goals in the history of Everton Football Club could have been that goal against Chelsea. And there was a flare on the pitch. And he picked up and he threw it back. I said on one podcast I did shortly afterwards, what's wrong with that? He was just returning the gentleman's property to him. That was all.
He's a
South American. It was spur of the moment. It wasn't evil. He wasn't trying to hit anybody. He wasn't throwing it to the disabled section. Oh, bollocks. Just say it's just one of those things. He's excitable nature, a very exciting situation that he was in. Mm. Yeah. Would you do it again, Richie? Well, not if I thought about it first. No, you know. Oh God!
Could have been worse. He could have kicked a ball at a ball boy, couldn't he?
Yeah, he could have tied himself. Said,
apparently, the ball boys at halftime were told in Rome that if they wanted to be safe, to stand behind their own goal because Leicester weren't getting anywhere near it. So it would have been safe for them.
You're talking about Achilles' heels. I didn't see the game. I wanted to watch Rangers, and I don't think I made a bad decision there.
No,
your
Rangers.
Oh, it was old school because Ibrox is old school, isn't it? You know, it looks like Goodison, except it's in Scotland. I thought it was a terrific occasion. I really did. I really enjoyed it. So I didn't see your game. But again, I saw you got nil. You just don't seem to be scoring enough. Like, you should have had us dead and buried at Goodison. You should. Yeah. And you didn't. And that's what gave us eventually the opportunity to get what could, in the final analysis, be a very, very valuable point.
It could. I was going to say, did you go to that game, Elton?
No, I didn't go. No, I didn't go. No, I didn't.
You went to the pub, didn't you? That's right.
I pick and choose now, but I mean, I don't. Everyone knows that, and I don't. Mm. I don't make apologies for it.
No, Craig, I
had my first appearance as a fan. That is at Goodison Park was in 1962.
Wow!
Wow!
You think you're old?
I was a year old then.
I
and Craig was only 10.
I have done, and I went for right up until I couldn't because of work.
Yeah,
You know, working on a Saturday is as I used to do every week.
But of course, yeah.
Somebody knows how many years precludes you from traveling and watching your club away from home. Mm-hmm. But I did it for years. You know. I don't have to justify myself as being an Evertonian.
No, we wouldn't expect you to. But Craig, looking back at that game, typical Leicester, wasn't it, this season?
Craig, would you talk for just a couple of minutes on that subject while I make a coffee?
No worries. Yeah, good luck for me, Elton.
Yeah.
Good luck, no problem.
And he's gone.
Yeah, but it's typical Leicester at the moment. We're overplaying, aren't we? We're the poor man's Man City. You know, we want to walk it in at the moment. Mm. Yeah, we want to pass. We're getting promising positions. We want another pass. It's just frustrating to watch.
I mean, these are the. No disrespect to Everton, but this is I mean, so I suppose it's always been Leicester. You know, we always seem to struggle against the teams that are sort of below us, haven't we? You know, yeah. They always used to say we'd go and beat Liverpool and then go and lose to Rochdale or something. But I'm just wondering about their attitude tomorrow on the pitch. I mean, I've been quite scathing about the game last night. Everybody that follows me on this channel will know I can be critical of Brendan when needed to and question him. But last night, I don't think Brendan did much wrong. I really don't. And he's back. I don't think he did much wrong last night, but it was just the players let him down. That was there. For me, that was up there with the Forest game as one of the worst performances I've seen.
Not for me. I think there was more. There was some poor individual performances. There was a poor tactical decision in terms of marking at the corner, which just seemed ridiculous.
Yeah.
But I think there was a couple of poor performances, and then he tried to rectify that at halftime by changing it. So fair play to him. But I think you also have to give not necessarily credit, but recognise who we're playing against and what they did, which was get a goal ahead and then just sit behind the ball in true Italian fashion, foul, you know, do whatever they had to do to
in true Mourinho fashion.
Exactly. I think you have to recognise that. As much as you say Leicester weren't great, and we weren't great, but we were up against a master tactician at that kind of game. And I think a lot of teams would have struggled to break them down, to be fair.
What I'm saying, though, Craig, and I know what you're saying about Mourinho and Italians, they played it, you know, they went down if you farted next to them. You know, it was, and the referee was diabolical. But when you're talking about a team that for the last, and it's the same team that last two seasons has got us fifth. We've added to that some very good players, some championship-winning players in Samari and Daka. We couldn't even pass the ball. You know, the ball would be going. I'd have the ball, let's say, and I'd see Kieran Dewsbury-Hall running up there. I'd pass it, and I'd pass it behind.
That's
I'd
what
pass
I mean.
It where he was, not what he was running to. And yeah, it'd go out.
But
and
I think
I've got the ball, and I'm looking. I've got a player next to me to the right. Who's not marked? I've got a player up from front of me that's marked by two Roma players. Oh, I'll pass it to the bloke that's being marked by two Roma players. It's the simple things last night that we didn't do. And I tell you something, I honestly think if that Leicester turns up tomorrow, Everton, because I know they're poor away, but they're fighting for their lives, I think they'll get something if that's the Leicester that turns up.
You're borderline Kevin Keegan there. I'm telling you, if they turn up, they've got to come and get something.
I would love it.
But, you know, that's what I was saying, really. It was individual poor performances rather than a collective. Because we controlled a lot of that game. We just let ourselves down in key moments. And I think there was four or five players who misplaced passes. And, you know, you're right, simple passes. And I think it took them 45 minutes to come to terms with where and who they were playing against. You know, Dewsbury Hall looked like a rabbit in the headlights for 20 minutes last night. You could see they weren't confident. They were taking easy options and even playing poor balls in the easy options. Second half, we had most of that possession, but by then the damage had been done and they just sat behind the ball.
I know, but it's just... I would struggle to pick one Leicester player from that had a good game.
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing with you. What I'm saying is that even if everyone was on top form, it would have been difficult because of the way that Mourinho went and set up. What was frustrating to me was that when we did get in good positions, our shooting was woeful and we started snatching at things. So it was disappointing. But what I would also say is, this is a team that has never been in that situation of 65,000 fans, fanatical fans. Scott went and he's come back today and I've spoken to him and he said he's never been anywhere like that. It was unbelievable. He don't think he'll ever have an atmosphere like that again.
And try Goodison.
Yeah, well, and these players, and I said it before the game, if players want the careers that they want in football, they have to learn to deal with these situations.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah,
and
yeah,
I think that was as much as of a learning curve for the individuals and the team and the manager who have never been in that position before. So, yes, we didn't play well. Well, so but
Brendan
I think...
will have been. He's played at Parkhead and Ibrox, hasn't he? Yeah. So he's been there.
All right. Well, okay. Everyone else then, you know, has never been played that. I know you're trying to pick at little things I'm saying there. But what you've got to see is a bigger picture of a team and a club that is being built over a period of time. And it doesn't happen instantly. And I think, you know, you've touched on this enough, Chris, about fans being unrealistic. I think we had a pretty poor performance last night, but I think you have to put it into context. And I think that's why, you know, a lot of fans don't do. I saw a lot of fans today saying, you know, he should have brought Dakar on, who could have exploited the space. There was no space. You know, I think everyone's an expert in hindsight, and I think that's...
Of course we are. Of course we are. And, you know, I can't lay any of the blame there. The substitutions that Brendan made, if the players were playing on their form, would be the correct decisions. You know, he took off players that weren't playing. And I've actually said I think it's the players that have let Brendan down.
No, I agree. I agree with you.
I'll just say this, and then we'll move.
Honestly, I will love it if we beat them. Love it.
And there we go. It's almost like this was rehearsed. I mean, Elton, sorry, you stood there very calmly.
No.
And let us have our rant. But
I couldn't be a part of that anyway because I didn't see the game. So
no. But I mean, knowing this, and you've obviously looked at the scores and saw what had happened yesterday, and these are the forms going in. As an Everton fan, are you looking at that and thinking like, well, we've got to watch Leicester because we might get the sting back from the fact that they've been knocked out the FA, a cup at a semi-final level?
Yeah.
Or do you look at it and think like, ooh, you know, they're going to be really down? And
yeah, I don't know. And neither do you. And I don't know how Everton are going to react to their latest away game. And neither do you. I think on those two counts, it's a fascinating game of football on Sunday. Mm. I mean, are Leicester going to be crestfallen? I have not a clue. Are Everton going to play the way with the spirit and unity that they showed against Chelsea? I've no idea. Good night.
And do you think it helps looking at that since we've last played? You've played Liverpool and Chelsea. We've played Aston Villa, Roma twice, and Tottenham. Are you going to be ring rusty or are you going to be rested? I suppose it could be either way, couldn't it?
I don't know. I just don't know. I mean, yeah, we've done enough of these, Chris. Do you know that I will give you a straight answer?
No, I know.
But I can't speak for Leicester because I don't know what the morale is like in the camp following that defeat. I don't know.
No,
I'm sounding like a parrot here, a broken record. And if I've said it once, I'll say it again. Yeah, Everton. Spirit and unity and collectiveness against Chelsea was fantastic. But we haven't had a decent performance away from home since God knows when. Mm. So how can you possibly predict how Everton will perform against Leicester?
Yes.
Just a quick one before you go on to this, Chris. Last season, Everton had... I would say a pretty clear way of playing, and Calvert-Lewin was integral to that. Do you think his absence has been a massive miss to Everton this year, or is it more than just Calvert-Lewin?
Well, the Calvert-Lewin that scored 20-odd goals the season before, I think any team in our kind of situation would miss that. But having said that, Calvert-Lewin, when he's played this season, has been a shadow of that. of that team. I'll tell you how bad it is and how negatively Evertonians view him now is that when we think that are we going to play with someone who's going to rough them up and unsettle a defence, we're thinking in terms of Solomon Rondon, not Calvert-Lewin.
Is he fit at the moment?
Is
he fit at the moment, Calvert-Lewin? Has he been on the bench?
He's been on the bench. I mean, he could have come on against Chelsea, but he didn't. Well, we brought Rondon on. He's on the front pages of these fashion magazines like that in his, in his stiletto boots. We got a song now which says he's not fit to wear the skirt. he's not doing himself any favours. No. At Everton at the moment. Yeah. In fact, to be honest with you, if we were to get the save, which was mooted not so long ago, and Arsenal willing to pay $60 million for him in the summer, I think more realistically now you're talking $40 million. But also, Arsenal's priority is going to be the guy that knocked you out, Tammy Abraham. That's who they really fancy. And if they go for Calvert-Lewin, I don't think they'll be looking to pay $60 million.
No.
But if we could get at the moment, if we could get $35-40 million for him, I'd back your hand off.
Yeah. Terry says here, Craig, what will be interesting Sunday, whether the attendance is down after yesterday's shambles. I don't think it will be, but it'd be interesting the fact that it is at home. And, that's the thing that the players have really got to go out and sort of put a show on for the lads, haven't they?
Well, they have. I think shambles is a strong word, to be honest, as well. I think you could be right, though, Terry, in terms of the attendance. It could be down. I think there was a few games in the middle of the season where attendance wasn't great. But, this is what it comes down to, isn't it? You end up with either fans who, every
you fill
fan,
the away end, I'll tell you.
I was going to go on to say,
rocking.
All Leicester fans would have been looking at that last night and saying, what a fantastic atmosphere, blah, 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 blah. And then when it comes to it, they pick and choose which games they want to attend while still talking about how terrible the atmosphere is, on Twitter and God knows what. So, but I think you're right, Terry, in terms of attendance. It could be down a little bit, but it is an opportunity. And it's going to be interesting to see how Brendan goes, whether he sticks with the team, whether he... You talk about, giving them a rest, but there's nothing to give them a rest for now. So there's no excuse to say, right, we're resting him and saving them for the European game. That's gone. So what you need now is a strong end to the season, a finish as high as you can, top half and pushing. And players are playing for the futures as well. And that's what he should be instilling into them. That he said there's going to be a big shake-up in the summer. Let's see what some of these players are made of.
What are your kids like? Because that's another thing. When a team has nothing to play for, which you haven't, because you're not going to get into Europe, you're not going to get relegated, so that's basically playing for nothing.
Yeah.
A manager will give one or two kids a go. I don't know.
I'd like to see that, Elwin, to be honest, because we have got a few promising youngsters, some who have made the jump from the under-18s to the under-23s this season. It'd be interesting to know, we've got a guy who's been out on loan at Cheltenham this season called Callum Wright, who's had a fantastic season. Now, I'm not sure what the league rules are at. His loan has finished because their season has finished. They were in League One, which finished last weekend. Yeah. So whether he's eligible to play,
for example.
The answer to the question is we've got some good youngsters, and I would at least like to see them starting to get onto the bench and getting 20 minutes here and there.
Yeah.
George Hurst is another one, isn't he?
Well, George Hurst is an interesting one, isn't he? Because, he's done well in his last few games down at Portsmouth. He didn't start well, but he's another of those players where you have to play to his strengths. And of that type of striker, he's a 6'2", he's a big lad, I think. Very much like, Calvert-Lewin last season, Everton played to his strengths. then you've got different managers coming in who want to play a different way. I'm not sure we would play to George Hurst's strengths, to be honest, but, you know, it's worth having a look.
Yeah. Talking about injuries, as we touched on before, just looking at Everton here, Elton, Frank Lampard is hopeful that Charleston will play despite soreness in his ankle. I think we're of the opposite attitude to that. We hope he doesn't. But Andrew Gomez is back in contention, but Ben Godfrey, Andreas Townsend, Donny van de Beek and Andros Townsend remain out.
Yeah, well, I don't think any of those will... Well, Godfrey being an exception will play for Everton again, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, I've got to say, I mean, I think it was Andros Townsend that famous pick when you signed him that looked totally miserable to be signing.
They all do when they sign
for us. I mean, on our side, Craig, obviously Wilfred Ndidi looks like he's been a big loss. And obviously our other star player that's out, Ryan Bertrand. or his French cousin André Bertrand.
Yeah, I think we've pretty much got a clean bill of health from an injuries point of view. It's going to be the fatigue and the mental side of it, I think, in terms of what kind of performance or who he puts out. I would think they'll be having a good look at them in training today and tomorrow, and deciding after that.
Yes. Well, let's get on to score predictions, as we always end up with. I've gone from a loss. I actually predicted a loss on a show earlier today that Everton would win.
Whoa.
I know. There's that feeling that now we've got nothing to play for. It's like when you get relegated, isn't it? Once you've gone down, well, the pressure's off, you know, and. But we've had such a thing like, oh, wait till so-and-so's back, and when Jamie's back, and when we've got all the injuries. Well, it's all there now. We're still not performing. But I've actually gone for 1-1 in the end. Ian Marshall's gone for 2-1 to Everton. I think might be a bit of a bias in there, to be honest with you. Steve Walsh has gone 3-0 to Leicester. Tags has agreed with me at 1-1. Steve Lynitz has gone 2-1 Leicester. Ian Wilson, he hasn't got back to me yet, so I'm still waiting on that. And
well, he's ex-Everton as well, isn't he, Ian? He's probably sitting on a fence somewhere.
Probably is. He was sitting on a cruise ship not so long ago, so don't feel sorry for him. And, of course, there's the great BBC pundit Mark Lawrenson, and he's gone for a 1-1 as well. So maybe I didn't pick right, seeing that he's gone for the same. Elton, which way would... I know we say it's hard to predict, but which way do you see the score going?
Well, I'm with you and Steve Lynx and, by the sounds of it, Loro too. 1-1. That sounds... we don't score a bucket full of goals, and in the main, the ones we score are deflected. So you don't look at Everton as scoring more than one.
I don't know, if you get two corners, there's two goals for you straight away.
Well, you watch this on Sunday. We're very if Mina's playing, Yerry Mina is playing now. Whether he's come through the game against Chelsea without any injury worries.
He took a heavy fall from that push.
Yes, but he is our we'll say secret weapon, but he's our main weapon. At corners, offensively. Now, I'm not talking about defensively. We're not much better than you when it comes to that. But offensively, he's very, very good at finding space in the opposition box from set pieces and corners.
Who's your tallest player? Because no doubt Ricardo will be on him.
Well, it'll be me. I mean, off the top of my head, I mean...
Yeah, I've been very sarcastic.
It's a fair question because I'm pretty sure it would be Mina. We're not a team of giants, that's for sure.
Actually, Spencer's quite right here. Sorry, Spencer, you've corrected me. You are quite right. Look, Mark Lawson has actually gone 2-0 to Everton. Sorry, because he's doing it with... well, he always does it with somebody else. Bob... Mark Lawrenson takes on one half of Bod Villan duo and Arsenal fan Bobby Vilan. Never heard of him. I'm obviously getting old. It's Bobby that's gone 1-1. Sorry, Laurie's gone 2-0. So to Everton. So that means we're going to win. Craig.
Yeah, it's all right. As much as I love Loro, yeah, it's lovely, lovely bloke. Known him for years.
Yeah,
I can't. I don't know where he's got that from. I really don't.
Maybe he's got a bet down the bookies.
Oh, well, that could be it. You'd get bloody good odds on Everton winning 2-0, I'll tell you.
I'm sure you would. Craig, what about yourself?
Well, as Elton has said all the way through, it's really unpredictable and difficult to come
which
out with
is,
anything.
I know, which is why I'm asking you.
Yeah, I know. You know what, Chris? I don't even think I'd bet any of your money on this.
thank you.
Yeah. I think that the home crowd has got a big part to play in this on Sunday as well, you know, because in theory, we can play with a bit of freedom because we haven't got anything to play for. So we can play with a bit of freedom, you would hope. And if we do that, then we've got players who can play really well. But if they try things and they don't come off, then I'm not sure the crowd will like it too much and they can get on the back a little bit. I'm going to say that we'll edge it 2-1.
2-1. Well, fingers crossed that you're right and I'm not. Elton.
That wouldn't surprise me, Craig. Seriously, it wouldn't surprise me.
It's going to be interesting. It's going down to the wire. It could be one of those last day. It could be the most exciting last day we've ever had with the title still being up for it, the top four and the relegation places. But and then you got little old Leicester stuck in the middle doing absolutely nothing. Sorry, Craig.
I was just going to say, you're talking about the end. I think when I looked at all the fixtures and where it was, I just think it may even come down to goal difference. And if that's the case, then it'll be poor old Leeds who heading through the trapdoor.
Yes, it could be. It could be. Yeah. Elton, look, I wish you all the best, mate. Thank you so much, as always, for coming on.
No problem.
Pressing the right buttons, as always.
Well, it's been a doddle, you know.
Yeah.
I've been so relaxed and so reassured that the technical side of things isn't going to blow up. That I was able to go make a cup of coffee.
This is it. You went for a coffee in the middle. You're an expert now. Elton, as always, we'll talk before the end of the season, I'm sure. But thank you. As I always say, thank you so much for coming on. And no, stay safe. I'd wish you all the best for Sunday, but you know I wouldn't mean it.
Yeah, I was just going to say, after working with Chris all season, it's lovely to have the opportunity to work with a professional, Elton.
Craig, I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
I also agree with you.
I see. It's that way, is it?
I love the bones of you, Chris. You know
he's right. He's right. That's the thing. I'll do it. Elton, thanks very much, mate. Take care. Stay safe. Cheers, and all the best.
Good night, guys. Cheers, Craig. Cheers.
Bye-bye.
I don't mean it, Chris.
I know you don't. I could sit and listen to Elton just all night. I could just talk to him all night about it.
He's great value for nothing.
Yeah, he is. And he loves the club. He loves his club.
Yeah, you can tell.
And I mean, I said to my son, and he's going like, who? But Elton John? I went, no. But no, great, great, great guy. Craig, thank you so much. You're going, I presume, on Sunday.
I shall be there indeed.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be a strange atmosphere because, like we say, there's nothing to play for. But as annoyed, it's like anything else. If anybody's sort of still around, 9 o'clock tonight, I'm doing a post match on the match because I think everybody was a bit too worked up yesterday to look at it without screaming. And even this morning when I woke up, I felt the same. But at the end of the day, we got to a European semi-final. Okay, it was, you know, the Conference League, which is possibly only here for a couple of seasons. But it's still something to be proud of, isn't it?
It is, and I take on board. And I saw Terry's other comments flash up there. Yeah, I think it's all. It was disappointing, wasn't it? Because, you know, they were a team who could have been beaten. Yes. And I think that's where the disappointment comes in. You get so close to these finals, but I think if you look at it in the wider perspective of the growth of the club, then we're on the right trajectory, aren't we? And I think it's going to be an exciting summer for us as well.
It's going to be interesting to see who goes, who stays, and who comes in. But that's football for you, and that's supporting Leicester. Craig, young man, thank you so much as always.
You're welcome.
Adding to today's show, and I will see. We've got a quiz next week, I believe, unless Aston Villa cancel it again.
Well, we have indeed. Yeah, so I know they've got. Have they got a game in midweek or something as well?
I'm not sure
because they're playing. They're playing Burnley twice, aren't they?
They are. So we do. Well, I don't know if you're free, but Tuesday we've got, because we're playing Norwich on the Wednesday, and I think we're doing the quiz on Thursday. Is that true?
Something like that. I'll double check, Chris.
It is something like that. Yeah, something like that. If you're free on Tuesday for the Norwich review, one thing I can guarantee this season is that we won't have a Norwich fan on, because they disappear. They don't reply to messages or tweets or anything like that. I've got to be honest with you, they are probably the most ignorant fans in the division at the moment. But then again, they've got a lot to be annoyed about. TM, thank you so much for that. Says who's going down. Saying gutted for you last night. It's football. It's football. And you've got to look on the fact that we got... And I say there, whatever you say, there were 16 clubs in the Premier League last night that would have swapped places with us.
You just want to be involved in these big games. You know, we've been many years where we haven't been, you know, so...
The funny thing is, during the first leg, when I think West Ham had gone 1-0 down, but they'd got it back to 1-0, we were losing... hiya. Thanks, Nippon. Thanks very much. Hi, Michael. How are you? When we were sort of 1-1 and what have you, it was a case of, I thought we were going to be the only, because we were still 1-0, we were going to be the only club that was losing. And then you look at it, and out of four clubs, only Liverpool have got to the final.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's bizarre. I think that was, it was a big game for us. I think it was a massive game for Roma. I'm surprised. You know, the more that you heard last night, their record, you know, the size of club for the record, I think, what, 91, is it, or 81 since they were last in a European final? You know, you view them as this huge club, and they are a huge club, but their trophy cabinet is about as empty as Spurs.
But, hey, if nothing else, we got to see Jose cry.
That's true.
Yeah. And, of course, his brother, Joe's B. Right, thank you. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Thanks very much, Craig. And Anthony, I see you. I'll just do the outro and I'll come and have a chat with you. Thanks very much, Craig. All the best, mate. Enjoy the game and stay safe.
Cheers, mate. Cheers.
Thanks very much. Thank you. Going to be back at 9 o'clock tonight with Brad. Like I say, we're not only going to be looking at last night's game, but we're going to be looking at the whole European journey that we've had this season and review the whole thing. So it's going to be interesting. Cheers, Craig. All the best, mate. Take care. And that's at 9 o'clock. Same channel. Don't touch the dial, as they say. We're going. Anthony, stay there because I will come to you when we finish. Thanks very much for watching. If you have been on Less Little I Die TV on YouTube, please press that subscribe button. It all helps support the channel. And if you have been listening on your favorite podcast platform, thank you very much. The listening figures are just amazing. And don't forget, if you've got a smart speaker, just say play the podcast Less Little I Die, and probably, unlike your missus, it will do as it's told. I see you in an hour. Good night.
Thanks for watching Leicester Till I Die. This is Chris saying goodbye and see you next time.
Follow us on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram.
bother.
Some people are on the pitch. They think it's all over. It is now.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.